men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Can we celebrate the Lord? Hallelujah. Can you walk up to 3-4 persons and just welcome them with a smiley your face to service? It's good to have you in service this morning. Thank you for coming around. Don't sit down yet. Welcome someone. Welcome someone. Hallelujah. You're looking good. You are looking gorgeous. It's good to have you around. Glory to God. Let's put hands together for the Lord as we take our seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Name. Stewardship is an essential for kingdom advancement. Stewardship is an essential for kingdom advancement. God uses people to advance his work. Glory to God. Now tell your neighbor, it's people that God uses. I wanted to tell your neighbor, it's people. When you make yourself available, please let me say this. The kingdom work is not only for the young. The kingdom work is for every demography, every age. Is that okay? We understand that a number of us busy, we have engagements, but within the scope of your time, make yourself available. Is that okay? We need people on the streets going out for evangelism. We need people telling people about what God is doing. We need you to be available for stewardship. And more than that, we need you to become mature. Praise God. Now, when you give yourself to stewardship in KDC, you give yourself to the process that will bring about your maturity. Amen. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, the giving of the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, is so that every believer will become full grown. Give us verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. That everyone will become mature, full grown. Amen. So that we will no longer be immature. We will no longer be children. We will not be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. So, stewardship is for your stability. Tell your neighbor, stewardship. I'm not hearing you well. Stewardship is for your stability. In stewardship, you are equipped to become mature. Now, why must you be mature? You need to be mature in the handling of your day-to-day commitments. Praise God. And during the week, someone shattered me up, and then she said something. She said, Pastor, sir, I want you to pray for me. I want you to ask God if I actually entered the wrong marriage. Amen. He said, pray and go and help me ask God if I married the wrong man. And I told her, I said, what if you married the wrong man? What will you do? And then I began to explain to her that the reason marriage suffer is because we are not mature. Maturity is not in chronology. It's not in age. Maturity is in the consistent display of wisdom. Say wisdom. And wisdom is a spiritual virtue. As you grow in the knowledge of God, you grow in godly character. And as you mature in godly character, you apply it in your day-to-day relationships. That's what we call wisdom. So there are times you know you shouldn't react. But the capacity not to react does not come from the fact that you are 30 years old. No, it comes from the training you have received. So I explained to her that the reason our marriages struggle is because we don't get to mature in the knowledge of God's love. So if you are not available to be taught, you can't mature. If you are not taught how to talk, you will not know how to talk well. So the reason our marriages are struggling is because spirituality is not being developed among believers. You can speak in tongues. Spiritual gifts are not evidences of spiritual maturity. I'm sure you know that. That you can pray does not make you spiritually mature. That you can sing does not make you spiritually mature. That you can talk does not make you spiritually mature. That you are driven by an internal force to know what to say and not what to say is what determines maturity. And the Bible called them the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. And what are they? They are the workings of God's grace, the influence of God's Spirit consistently in your inner spirit, making you do the very things God does. And all of this can't be accomplished when there is no accountability. Glory to God. These fruits are developed by consistent intercourse with the Word of God and prayer. So if you are a believer that prays 5 minutes every day and then skips some days, if you stay at that level, you can't come into that maturity. So when you are in stewardship, you are taught how to pray more and how to pray the right prayer. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's what the church is to do. So the church is not where you come on Sunday, sit down and go home. No. The church is where you subscribe to discipleship. So when you give yourself to stewardship here, you give yourself to the pathway of spiritual maturity. So if you are here, you are not part of the KDC stewardship, I want to encourage you to be available. Learn the things of the Spirit so that you can apply it in your homes, in your businesses, in your relationship with your bosses, in your relationship with your clients, in bringing souls to salvation, and more importantly, to create for yourself a crown when God comes to give people reward. I pray that you will embrace this in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand as we love God. Say, I believe the word of God. I open my heart to receive the word of God. I allow the word of God to make me who God wants me to be. I yield my heart to the teachings, and I ask that, Lord, you will give me understanding. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verse number 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. Everybody, let's read. One to read. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Let's turn to Galatians 5. I want to read Galatians 5, verse 25. The Bible says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. One, two, everybody, let's echo it together. One, two, read. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you all the glory because when you said, let there be light, you were talking about the shining of your word and Christ in the hearts of your people. So I'm asking that the teaching of your word this morning will be the instruction that brings light. I pray that you will light upon every heart. Let there be a quickening of your word. Let there be a stirring up of faith. Let your word bring light to every heart. Let it come plain, let it come simple, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let it tear the veil of religion. Whatever it is that religion has framed and sealed in our heart, let it be torn away. I pray that the teaching of your word will be simple. The anointing that makes that teaching possible, release it upon your people. Let your word edify every sense and let it bring glory to Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Understanding the way of the Spirit, part 3. Understanding the way of the Spirit, part 3. Now, so far, we have been able to establish that when you talk about spirits, the word spirit can be generic. The word spirit is a family name. So the word spirit, number one, refers to that which is not seen. So when you are talking about spirit, you are talking about what you cannot see with your physical eyes. Number two, when you are talking about spirit, you are talking about influence. What brings about something? What works together to bring about what people can now see? And then when we're talking about spirit, what we're talking about? That which is not physical. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then we went on to say that there are three spirits that has influences on the earth realm. How many spirits? There are three spirits that have influences on the earth realm. So let's write them down. Number one, we call it the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Number two, the Spirit of the Devil, or the spirit of Satan. And then number three, the spirit of man. Please, it's very, very important. When we say spirit, we are talking about how God influences the earth. Two, when we say spirit, we are talking about how the devil influences the earth. And then three, we're talking about how humans influences the earth. So there are three spirits that rules on the earth: the spirit of God, the spirit of the devil, and the spirit of man. And then we also went on to say that these influences can be categorized into seven. Now, during the course of the week, as I began to pray some days ago, the Lord brought something to my attention. He said, I mentioned seven influences. There is one that I actually left out, which is very, very important. In fact, it's the number one. I didn't know why I left it out. It's the number one. So there are eight influences that when we talk about spirit, there are eight influences that powers whatever we see on the earth realm. Now, please take note of this. What we are trying to establish is that when you say something is spiritual, you are talking about something that has an influence that is not seen. I explained that. For example, there is madness and there is spirit of madness. When you say madness, you are talking about a behavior that is brought about when the mind is not functioning well. But when you now talk about the spirit of madness, you are not talking about what is causing the mind not to function well. So when you are talking about spirit, you are talking about the underlying influence. I explained that in part one. If you were not here, please get the tape. It will bless your heart. So when you talk about spirit, you are talking about what influences. And that what influences, there are at least eight of them. When you say this man is under the influence of a particular spirit, directly or indirectly, you are saying this man is controlled by 8 things. So when you look at these 8, you put them side by side with God's Spirit. If they line up, you said this one is controlled by the what? By the Spirit of God. Listen, a number of believers are too emotional and religious about spiritual leading. Most people think that when you say God led me, it means a wind blew me. No. For want of word, the Bible can use wind to represent what the Spirit is doing. But that does not mean that the Holy Spirit is a wind. The Holy Spirit is not a wind. The Holy Spirit is not a fire. Scripture said in the book of Kings that when Elijah went to the cave, the Bible says the wind came, the earthquake came, but after all of that came a what? A still small voice. And when you talk about the word of God, I mean, that's where we're actually going. Because to be led by God's Spirit is directly to be led by God's word. But God's word is what summarizes those 8 things. So when you say be led by the Spirit, you must learn it. Write this down. Spiritual leading is learned. Spiritual leading is learned. You can't be led by the Spirit without being taught of the Spirit. I remember a young man called Samuel. He was sleeping and then he heard a voice. Samuel, Samuel. He got up. He went to Eli. He said, Eli, did you call me? Eli said, no, I didn't. He went again. Did you call? So Eli perceived that it could be God trying to get Samuel's attention. Now, what did Eli say? He said, when you go back and you hear your name again, what should you say? Speak, thy servant heareth. He was taught. The ways of God's Spirit are taught. The ways of God's Spirit are taught. The ways of God's Spirit are learned. Now, how do you learn God's ways? How do you learn the ways of God? You learn the ways of God by learning those 8 things. So when you learn them, you know this is the voice of God. Praise God. So aside the 7 I have mentioned, number 1, the nature of God. Or when you, let's put it this way. 7 influences, 8 influences. Nature, don't put nature of God. Nature, just go where you wrote it the last time. Just put nature at the top. Nature, intentions. There are 8 influences. 8 things that influences people. 8 things that influences people. 8 things that influences people. When you say spirits, every spirit is characterized by these 8. If you say the spirit of a man, you have already said the person is a man. And now what a man do if he do? He know if he do what the animal do. So that's why we say the number one influence is nature. Nature. Are you here? The number one influence is what? Nature. Then number 2 is what? Intention. Number 3, motives. Is it motives? Number 4, thoughts. Number 5, plans. Number 6, desires. Number 7, pleasures. Number 8, achievement. Now, what we are trying to say is this. Every spirit has a nature. Are you getting that? 2, every spirit has an intention. if God is a spirit, that God's spirit has a nature. When you say nature, you are simply talking about how you can describe its influence. Are we together now? So if we say the spirit of the devil, there is a nature in there. For example, the Bible says there is a spirit in man. Now let me give you some of the naturality of man. We'll come into some of the nature of God. But let me tell you some of the nature of man. For example, the natural man by design, natural man, man that have tasted of the fallen nature of this earth, is selfish. That's just it. Every intention in his heart is self-driven. Genesis 11, effect of the fall. Goto, let us build for ourselves. Look up. For ourselves, a tower. Genesis 11. Do we get that? The nature of fallen human is always self. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? The nature of the spiritual man is spiritual. Galatians 3 said, why have you started in the spirit and now be made manifest in the flesh? What he's trying to say is, why is your nature changing? There is a nature as spirituality. There is a God nature. There is a devil nature. There is a human nature. And that nature is the first instrumentation for the things it does. Are we getting it now? It was Jesus that was speaking. He said, a bad seed cannot produce a good fruit. That talks about what? Nature. You can't. He said a bad tree can't produce a good fruit. He said a good tree cannot produce a what? A bad fruit. So meaning that the influence that a particular spirit can wield is determined by the kind of that spirit. I want you to follow me very closely. So when we are talking about nature, we are talking about what kind it's made up of. Ask your neighbor, what kind is God's spirit made up of? That's what we are saying. Meaning that if it is God that is leading you, we know how it will look like by how God looks like. Are you following me now? Imagine me come to his house with my knife and say, God said I should kill you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I just came and said, Toba, get up. Ah, Pastor, say, okay, get up. You know, God appeared to me last night, said I should kill you. Do you understand? But you and I know that Skube can come to your house and tell you to get up and tell you, I want to kill you. And you don't even need to ask. Because if you ask him for that, he will tell you, Satan sent me to kill you. Because we know that by nature, Satan is a what? A killer. John 10 verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not. So every time you see the darkness spirit, you are seeing kill, kill, kill. That's the nature. So we are saying that if a man is led by God, the nature the man will display is the God nature. You can't come and tell me that God is telling you to do something that will destroy people. Because it's only the thief that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Bible now said, I. So Jesus was a representation of the God nature. So he said, I have come that you may have life. So, when you say you are led by the Spirit of God, write this down. It means you are led by the life of God. Because the nature of God is life. So the Bible now called the Spirit of God a life-giving spirit. So meaning, sir, that if I come and my involvement in your life is destroying your life, it means I'm not led by God. That's the nature of leading we are talking about. Let's take, for example, you are in a relationship with a guy, and since you got into the relationship, everything in your life has been dying. Your spiritual life has died. Things are just dying. And I say, Pastor, this is God that gave me this relationship. No, you can't tell me it's God. You say, but sir, it was an angel that appeared to me. No, it's not God. Because if it is God, what will be seen is life. That's why if you are fellowshipping here, and then I always look at you, you are dull, you are not happy, you are snobby, I know something is what? It's wrong. Because the Bible says, in his presence, his fullness of joy, at his right hand, are pleasures forevermore. So meaning, if you were led here by God, it shouldn't be bringing you pain. We are telling you how to test leadings. Are you with me? It's just like, for example, you are in a job and you've been in a job. Everything about the job is just destroying your life. Killing your faith, killing your zeal, killing your joy. And you are saying, it's God that led me to the job. It's obvious it's not God. We are talking about the way of the Spirit. So the way of the Spirit is initiated by the life of the Spirit. That's what we call nature. It's a life. Glory to God. And he said, rejoice again. And I say, what? It's a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15 now told us that it's a life-giving what? Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He now says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's the nature we are talking about. So we know that you are led when we see the influence that corresponds to the nature. It is easy for you to know that you are in the wrong place where everything is dying. I'm not talking about things dying in the physical, because even if I'm in the perfect will of God, and things are not working outwardly, but joy is in my spirit, hope is in my spirit, I know that it is God's spirit. But if I'm in a place physically everything is booming, but internally no peace, no joy, I don't need a prophet to tell me that I have just zoomed out of the will of God. Because God by nature is a giver of life. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Now, how did we know some things we are doing we are not of God? Let me give you an instance. For example, before we started church, I was running a part church ministry. We're doing programs, doing a lot of stuffs, and then organizing programs and a lot of things. But all of a sudden, after a period of time, I just noticed that every time I come from the program, instead of me to be full of joy like I used to, I'm always full of sadness. Void, pain. Are you getting it? So I thought it was just maybe the stress, you know, after you've done so much. But after a while, I went to pray, and I could not pray the joy back. And listen, there are some prayers when you begin to pray and you are not getting what you are praying for, please pray for direction. It might just be that there is either a prompting you are not responding to. So I had to change the prayer. I said, God, what is it about? And God began to remind me of an instruction he gave to me that I did not obey. And then the moment that reminder came, woo. In fact, the pain and the sadness even increased. Because it's now making me know that it's disobedience that is what? Causing it. So I say, oh, is that one? And I'm not going to do church. I'm not doing. So it now heightened the sadness. It now heightened the lack of peace. And that's where we need to be very careful. Because at that point in time, if you don't know how this way of the spirit is, you will not want to be looking for excitement. Just be finding happiness. But God, people are coming to the meeting now. Partners are still supporting. You know, that was what happened to King Saul. He said, but after all, people, I'm still in the throne. Kimchi don't leave you zings. It was the lack of joy, lack of peace, lack of the Holy Ghost in King David life, King Saul life, that was making him want to kill David. You can't be in God's perfect will for your life and the nature of Satan will be prevailing over your life. No. Bible told us the nature of Satan. And Bible now told us the nature of the flesh. Am I correct? Let's take for example, you can be led to start ministry by God. You can be led to start ministry by flesh. Are you following me? Yes, and you can be led, many people can be led to start ministry by God and continue in the flesh. Some can be led to start ministry by God and continue in demonism. I mean, there are some pastors that actually started spiritually. But because they could not sustain their spiritual work, they now drifted into demonism, getting powers from black magic, sorcery, using them to call people's number and do miracles and all those things. Now, the church is growing. People, but deep down in their heart, there is a what? There is a void. Because you cannot get the fruit of God's spirit leading except your human spirit and God's spirit are in koinonia. That's what we are saying. If God is not leading you, your ministry will be characterized by witchcraft, demonism, division, manipulation, control, because those things are not in sync with the Spirit of God. But if it is the Spirit of God that is leading you, we can now see joy in the Holy Ghost. We can now see peace, because those things are visible evidence that this man of God is in sync with the Spirit of God. That's the way of the Spirit we are talking about. By nature. Everybody say by nature. For example, by nature, Satan is a deceiver. Hello? He's a what? He's a deceiver. So if he's telling Jesus, all this will I give to you if you bow down and worship me, it's deception. He's just deceiving him. Now, at the end of the day, he might give him, but he will collect it back. You know devil now. He said that they give you two. Not be two they give you. He said that I give you two. Just not say now minus 2,000. Amen. So say nature. So you add it to that. We'll come back to it. So these are the influences. So meaning that, thank you Holy Spirit. Meaning that if God wants to stop you from being influenced by the devil, all he needs to do is to give you his nature. That's why I gave you his spirit. Because the nature of his spirit will determine how the spirit exerts its influence. Glory to God. Now let's check. Why does God want us to embrace the way of his spirit? Coming into the teaching now. Embracing the way of God's spirit. I don't want to, maybe during the course of the discussion, I might be comparing and differentiating the way of God's spirit and the way of Satan's spirit. Is that okay? But the body for this morning quickly is, why does God want us to walk in the way of his spirit? Why? Let's check Galatians 5 verse 25. He said, if we have a spiritual life, if we are living by the Spirit, let us what? Follow. So the focus of this teaching is understanding the way of the Spirit. So why is it that God wants us to understand and embrace and follow his ways? We have already established that there is the way of the human flesh. There is the way of Satan's spirit. And there is the way of the God's spirit. So, the way of God's spirit are one. The nature of God, God's nature, God's intention, God's motive, God's thoughts, God's plans, God's desire, God's pleasure, and God's achievements, God's results. So write it that way. Just write this down. The way of God's Spirit are one. The way of God's Spirit. Then you draw a table. On your note, draw a table like this. I don't have my board here. They decided not to give me boards today. But God will have mercy on them. Say amen. The first 3 months of the year, I do plenty of teaching. So I should have my board all the time. Amen. So have you drawn your table? So the way of God's Spirit are, so draw the table. So on this side of the table, you put his nature. Table like this. So this side is nature. So when we say you are led by God's Spirit, it means you are led by God's nature. That's what we are saying. So that's why you can't be led by God's nature and not be good. That nature is what Galatians 5 verse 22 now described. That's the nature of God. That's God's nature. So meaning, when you are led by joy, glory to God, you are led by God. I listened to a message some years ago. He said, how to know you are led by God's Spirit? He said something. He said, every time you are led by love, agape, you are led by God. Because God is love. So it's nature, number one. So you write it down. It's nature. Two, I want to give you why God wants you to embrace his ways. So let's list out his ways now. His ways are his nature. Two, his intentions. Three, his motives. Four, his thoughts. Five, his plans. Six, his desires. Seven, his pleasures. Eight, his achievements. What you call his expectations. Do we get it now? Have we done that? So those are the ways of God. So when we are talking about living according to the ways of God, we are saying living according to his what? His nature. Two, we are saying living according to his intentions. What it simply means, we say, waiting God get for mind, say, be the reason won't do something. Now that reason, me too. That's what we are saying. Meaning that, let me just make it a bit practical now. Meaning that if I'm saying that I want God to lead me in the job to do or the vocation to start. Lord, I want you to be the one to lead me in this vocation. What I'm trying to explain to you is that by the time God will want to lead you in this vocation, the first thing he does is that he will reveal his nature to you. Meaning that this handwork you want to do, if na me won't do one, na so I go do one. I will love my customers. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you understand? I will be kind to my customers. Meaning that when you put all the fruit of the Spirit into whatever business you want to do, it shows that your motive already is right. Is God's motive. We talk about nature. We talk about intentions. Intentions are the reasons, the purposes in his heart. So if you say you want to start this vocation, the first thing that God will ask you, why do you want to do this business? Tell your neighbor, test every spirit. We are talking about the testing now. Why do you want to do this? Okay, I want to do this business so that all these people that have been oppressing me, we oppress them back. You understand? I want to do this business because everybody is doing this business. It's as if there's something inside. I get what I'm saying. God does not lead people like that. As a matter of fact, that was the reason the children of Israel incurred God's anger. They told Samuel, go and tell God, God, give us a king. Samuel said, why? So that we can be like the other nations. The moment Samuel tabled it before God, God became angry. The reason why I brought you in is to make you different from the other nation. Why are you not telling me to give you king like the other nation? I want you. He said, I am your lot and your inheritance. I am your king. I'm giving you everything you want, but you want a physical king, no problem. He said, give them, but tell them what they will suffer. Did they suffer it or not? Did they suffer it or not? You are not responding. Did they suffer it or not? They suffered it. He said, it will recruit your children to go and fight war. He will take off your cattle. It means that the king you want will not reign over you like me. They will reign over you as humans because they are what? Human kings. Are we getting it now? So intention talks about what? Reason, why? For example, you must know that there is the God reason. Sure, you know that. Okay, let me ask you a question. What is the God reason for us to do business? No, it's very easy for Christians to say it, but in principle, not all Christians practice it. I did a study on the seven mountains of influence, extensive study. I still have the documents with me. I searched into why God wants Christians to go into government. Why God wants Christians to go into business. Why God wants Christians to give birth to children, family. Why God wants Christians to go into academics. But you realize that if you sample 12 Christian businessmen and ask them, why do you think God wants you to do business? I know first one of the very religious one will say, so that I can advance the kingdom of God. It's not really hard for them to answer it. If I ask some of you now, why do you want to go into medicine? You say, I want to go into medicine so that I will represent God. I don't have a problem with that. But the next question I will ask you, how would you know you are representing God in medicine? That question can be a PhD question. Because most people don't even know. Because while we're growing up, we are taught that if you are going to be representing God in your place of work, when you get to your place of work, coordinate money devotion. So most of us, to us, representing God in our place of work is helping them to lead prayers. So in departmental meeting or in a meeting in the Ogacom, it's you that is always leading prayers. Or when somebody, people have started dying in the office, they will just call you, yeah, come. Pastor Funke Keme, come. We need to pray. So to us, amen, to us, representing God in business or in our office is leading prayers. But you and I know that's not what it means. It's way deeper than that. Representing God in your place of work means that, number one, the nature you carry to work every day is the nature of God. So when everybody say, let us sack him, it's even too much. Pastor Fuege may put mouth. It's even true. He's a stupid boy. No, God is saying, no, that's not me speaking. Are you with me? Everybody in the meeting says he's stupid, he's foolish. God is sent you there so that you will at least remain reminder. Can we just tamper justice with mercy? Can we just check maybe why he even did? You are the nature of God in that business. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. It's not to lead money devotion. Are you listening to me? It's to stand out. Because we already know the nature of the fallen man, isn't it? Okay, you can't go the... You say you won't do lecturing. academics. You just go there, you don't notice that every lecturer can shout at students. I saw one the other day. If you are at this place, you'll be hearing his voice. Get up! Bang, boom, bokla! Stupid! You students, you are just bunch of fools. And then you too, you just got the work. And you also want to have a cloud over your head. So that students will fear you. You know, lecturers like when students fear them. So you too, you just change your own. Boom, bokla! Stupid students. And then you come to church. Father, we give you thanks. The spirit of God all over the nations. The spirit of... It's not consistent. It's not joy. Because we are saying that if truly you are led by God, let's see gentleness. You are too wild. Wah! Be the calmer of the storm. That was who Daniel was. The Bible says he distinguished himself to the point that everybody started plotting against him. You can't be a light in the midst of darkness and not attract evil. That's why he now said, no weapon. You see, when you read scriptures, those scriptures are promises God gave to people who had light but were living in darkness. So God now said, they will plan. No, you don't need to know what they are planning. He said, but when they plan, because my plan for you are thoughts of good and not evil, their plans will not work. Okay, they now plan. They now sack you in the job. You are not crying, they have sacked you. It's because you don't know God's purpose. Do you understand? They did the same thing to Apostle Paul. He was preaching the truth. People were preaching lies. So they now beat him up and put him in prison. So inside prison, he now wrote letter to those that are free. He said, see, I'm in prison bound, but please don't be what? Dismayed. Don't cry for me. Don't cry. There are some people, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Matthew 5, most of you may have forgotten that portion of scriptures. He said, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So there is persecution for righteousness' sake. Don't be the butter and bread indomie generation that say because you are speaking in tongues, every road will just be opening. No. For standing for righteousness sometime, they will suspend your salary for 3 months. And that's where God will prove to you that my thought towards you are good and not of evil. He will even pay you more. You will not look like Jesus. They put Daniel in the den of lion. The king woke up and said, Daniel, as your God saved you, the king knew, say, Daniel no do bad. He God go save him. So, not be you go, they cry. Hey, God, oh, you are now forming gossip all over the office. They are persecuting me in this place. The God that I serve, we arrest all of them. Oh yeah, fire, fire upon that boss that said they will. Ah, see, you are not doing the character of God, though. The disciple wanted to do it. Jesus said, no, you can't call fire like Elijah. Now, why did he say it? Hadusiata. He said, because you don't know the spirit that is in you. The spirit that was leading Elijah at that time, that dispensation has ended. No call fire. No call fire. Go and learn how to be patient in tribulation. Go and learn. Tell neighbor, go and learn. Some boss, they will afflict the hell out of your life. But good thing about it is God will give you patience. But at the expiry of that dealing, any meeting the boss will go. He say, have you seen that young man Abraham? Have you seen that young man Christian? I've never seen a believer like that man. With everything we have been doing in this office, he will still come, he will still greet me, good morning, sir. He will shadow palataya. That is what God is doing on earth. Where everyone is dark, God said you are the light there. Don't go there and start behaving like Bombo Clark. I mean, this, what is even, is it Bombo Clark or? I don't even know the meaning. Sir. Glory to God. Have you written them down? His nature, his intentions, his motives, his thoughts, his plans, his desires, his pleasures, his achievements, his expectations. Now, these eight are the ways of God's Spirit. Now, why does God want us to walk in these ways? Now, on the other side, these are the reasons, among many other reasons. Because the ways of God are learned by relationship with God. So, when you start having a relationship with God, you know, right now some of you are just transiting from religion. You know, some of these things I'm saying is sounding strange to some people because you were taught that when an enemy come against you, call down fire and destroy them. You understand? But in the new covenant, he said, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. You see that boss that is always planning for them to sack you. Anytime you travel, come back, buy bread, give him. Just give him bread. Or Latin one. Or less good bread. If I can even buy the one from ChopRite, buy it. Or God, not put poison inside. If you want to make a chopper, I go chopper. Just give. If you like it, not eat and make throw one, no problem. Just be buying it. Bible says, by so doing, you are heaping coal of fire. So the way we heap coal of fire is not the way Elijah did his own. You didn't get that. It's not the way Elijah did his own. Me. If I be a prophet, I died. They died. But you all know, the bread you gave him is fire you are heaping. He will just dream one day, he's eating your bread in the dream. He will call you one day, say, Fizaya, come. What did you put in that bread you gave? I noticed that since I ate that bread, I've just been having peace. Peace. They say, you never ever see anything. From bread, we enter butter. Amen. I believe that if we believers live the way God wants us to live, the world will run after God. We are living like the world. That's why they are looking for help elsewhere. You didn't hear what I said? We are living. So they don't know where to go to for help again. How can you be hating everybody in the office? Bible says in the book of John, any man that hates is not of God. You even say it boldly, I hate that man. Believer in Christ. That language is foreign to the way of, you are being led by your emotion because hate is an emotion. Hate is an emotion. But the truth is, you can't live the life of the kingdom if you don't learn it. And you can't learn it if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't learn it if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And you can't have the Holy Spirit and not walk in the Holy Spirit. So that's why I'm teaching you how to walk in the way of God. Praise God. So it's nature. You've written it down. On the other side, now write this. It's nature. It's love. His nature is love. His intentions are pure. His motives are sincere. His thoughts are good. His plans are perfect. His desires are full of compassion. His pleasures, they are forever. His achievements, his expectations are beneficial. That's why we choose the way of God's Spirit. Do you understand what we are talking about? Why do I choose the way of God's Spirit? I choose the way of God's Spirit because if I follow God, the only thing I know I will get from Him is that He will shower me with love. That's why I'm following His ways. If I follow the ways of the devil, the ways of the devil are hateful. Demons, herbalists, occults, they are hateful. They call them brotherhood of cloud, but there's no brotherhood there. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? The reason why God wants you to learn His ways is that number one, his nature. The Bible was speaking in Lamentations chapter 3. He said in verse 22, he said, it is by the Lord's mercy that you are not consumed. It is foreign for Satan to love. If Satan brings love into the equation, he is just trying to wrap it in it, his hate. But let me tell you this, there is no hatred in God. Even in the angriest state of God, God still have your good in mind. I don't want to see Satan angry, but I do tell people, if God should give Satan permission for 10 minutes to destroy this world, I mean permission, nothing will be left. Nothing will be left. Because when you look at Satan, Satan is just an arch enemy. Just, he's not, Satan does not have any plan. If you want me to tell you about the plan of Satan, I will tell you that the plan of Satan are mischievous. You may not know the meaning of that English, but you can check it after now. They are mischievous. The plans of God, they are what? They are perfect. No, raise your head, everybody. The plans of God. Not because he said it in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, but because he also repeated it in Romans 8 verse 28. He said, all things work together for good. One thing I know about God is that if you have love for him, or he has called you, he said, to them that love God, to them that are the called, whether you love him or he calls you, whatever is in the equation, it will end in good. That's why we choose his way. Everybody is mocking me. Your God has forsaken you. Your God has left you. If any time per time God forsook you, it's because he's coming with a bigger glory. He did not forsake Jesus in the cross and then did not bring him out of the grave. If he had forsook him in the cross and forsook him in the grave, we would not be here talking about him. But he forsook him before everybody. But when everybody had given up on him, he brought it out on him out on the third day. That is the God's way we are choosing. That's why we are not following the way of our flesh. Sometimes we go to the office and then the boss that we are working for that is refusing to pay us money, we just check inside one of his bottom file and we see 10,000 naira cash inside. And by our standard, we know he doesn't know he have that 10,000. And in this period where no cash is. Yet, it's not my money. It's not my money. That speaks about the spirit that is what? That is leading you. Now, we did not do that because the boss like us. We do that because we have a nature that is superior to the emotion of our boss. That's the way of God. All things. Say with me, all things. Sometimes they will bring up railing accusation against you. Tell people lies about you. One thing I started learning from last year into this year is not to defend myself against slander and false accusation. God taught me very well. He said, no. Keep your eyes on the ball. Just fix your eyes on the ball. Tell neighbor, fix your eyes on the ball. Because the reason the enemy will speak ill of you is so that you will give him his attention. Say, but don't give him his attention. Some of you have so much liars around you. And you are doing everything to change their perception about you. It's not necessary. Because no matter how much you try, humans will always be humans. He said, let all men be liars. God remain true. There is no name they did not call Jesus. They called him Beelzebub. They called him friends of sinners. They called him friends of publicans. They call him demon. There is no name they didn't call Jesus. But at the end of the day,
The Bible says, for God has highly exalted him. No, that's why we choose the way of God. Because the highest a man can lift me is to the height of his hand. But when God lifts me, he lifts me to the most high. So that's why we choose this way. So that's why when you irritate me so that I will get angry, I will walk with him so that I don't get angry. Because when I don't get angry, he will give me a reward that will supersede what your anger created. That's why we follow his way. His nature is love. What about his intentions? I know if God tell me go and start something, he has good mind for me for it. So when the moment I start and then opposition rouses, he said, "Woo!" The first thing is to walk in the flesh, but the best thing is to go back to him and begin to pray. The best time to pray is when you don't know what to pray about. That is the way of the Spirit. There is a time in life where problem will come left, right, and center. Just pray. Now, when we pray, we are trying to remind our flesh that there is a superior influence that has its interface from the spirit realm. So we pray. So in the last week, as the pressure was beginning to come, this, that, I just looked for a window and I prayed. It might just be 2 minutes, but please pray. Because prayer is a place where spirits intercourse with spirits and flesh takes its place where it should be. As I prayed in tongues, and God told me, said, all things will work for your good. Now look up. Every time God wants to remind you of an embodiment of his nature, his plans, his thought, his motives, his pleasure, he sends you his word. That one word has his intention in it. That one word has his motive in it. So the moment he said, all things work for good, I just woke up. I said, case have been settled. All the agitation in my heart just melted. And I just calmed. And gradually, that's how it's working. Believers, forever and ever, I will choose the way of God. Choose the way of God. I'm not going to choose any other way. You see, there is a way that's a man. Now, listen. When your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your one sister-in-law has suddenly become the devil in human clothing, don't get angry. If God initiated the marriage, go back to him. That's what the disciple did. Don't start in the spirit and end in the flesh. No. See, all the Sanhedrins, they were oppressing them. The best thing they could have been doing, all these people, tell me about the one preaching Bible. Why are you misbehaving? No. They will not talk. Those talk are on deaf ear. See, people come and bring gossip and scandal and everything. You are just wasting your energy to not change anything. If you even implicate yourself, go back to the place of prayer. The Bible said they went back to the place of prayer. They said, Lord, behold, they are what? They are threatening. He said, to your son, have they brought up all these accusations? He said, now, Lord, grant unto us boldness. Not boldness to retaliate, boldness to still keep preaching this thing. When people afflict you for your good, go back to God. Say, God, give me boldness to be more good. I know people have offended you. I can't love again. No, that's not how the believer works. I can't accommodate anybody in my house again. No. That was actually the reason the devil sent that one to spoil your good life. If you walk in your flesh, you will lock your door. And from that day, Satan will have free course. He will never say, we have won. Yeah. We are doing well. And you'll be so bold when you are saying it. I have learned. This is it. I have learned. Say that was yeah. You have learned where? Okare, you have learned where? But when you go back to the way of the Spirit, God will say no. When people hurt you, you don't shut your door. You come in to take more grace. Because it will get to a point, they will no longer hurt you again. And when you get to that point, it means you are walking in the way of the nature love that you carry. Because listen, he said everything shall die. He said, but love cannot die. Stand. Love can't die. It can't die. It can't. So if I'm loving more last year than I am today, that means love is dying. Love shouldn't die. Are you with me? In religion, they told us that when you give somebody money and the person takes the money to coven and you become poor, stop giving people money. No. Don't stop giving people money.
instead, go back to God. Tell God to teach you how to be led. Because anything that has its origin from the Spirit, the Bible says it will work together for your good. I have never seen God tell me to do something good that looked evil that eventually killed me. No way. If it killed me, it's because along the line, my emotions got into the way of God's Spirit. But if it is pure Spirit, I've told you that the thoughts of the Spirit, they are what? Good. Which one is pure? Is there something is pure there? Intentions are pure. God does not have ulterior motive. Oh, Jesus. God does not have ulterior motive. Anybody that tells you that the way of God is hard is not serious. It's the way of the flesh conflicting with the way of God that makes it hard. But the highways of the Spirit is the highway of ease. Listen, if God says, beware of sexual immorality, it's not because God does not want you to have pleasure. No. He knows what that immorality can do to your life. He knows. He knows. He knows. One of it is that 1 month later, period does not come. Your heart starts beating fast. Boom. 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 And God now come and say, Funkeke, pray for your family. You know if you pray, your heart is making boom. When my period comes out, boom. And at that moment, God, because God will never do anything on earth without the involvement of a man. That's why Satan wants to scatter our mind. So that when we are to be alert to do what God wants, we will not be available to do it. That is making boom, boom. You now go check. They say you are 3 weeks pregnant. Effect of a good Valentine outing. Now you are now presented before the devil and the deep blue sea. Now say, Amy, just get pregnant. You will first cry for like recry. That cry that you cannot cry for revival. You will cry it. Then after you have cried like David, there is no strength away to cry. The voice of the one that pushed you into making you think that if somebody loves you and does not sleep with you, will not come again. You know, it's a continuous voice. That's why we are choosing the way of God every day. Say with me every day. You say, sister, you want to shame yourself, Abby? Don't shame yourself. Safe route. Go and do abortion. Quick. And all he has just done is that he has triggered another line of thoughts. And all his thoughts, they are not what? Good. And then somehow you go do it. Clear it off. You start afresh. Now fast forward 10, 15 years later. You now get married. First year, no issue. And truly God has forgiven you. But that same voice is a permanent voice. It will come again. Say, you see. That thing you flush that day. You can't even born. God can't do anything for you. Before you know, your sister is in love. They will start, let's go and see one prophet now. Let's go and see one that. Just by one decision to go the wrong way. Satan is a consistent trajectory of evil machinery. So when you are led by the Spirit, God begins to tell you, my laws are for your pleasure. You know, David was speaking, he said, the laws of God are good. He said, they are good. Now, if God says, I shouldn't keep malice, he knows why. He knows why. I mean, to be honest, let's be sincere. Do you think it's easy to go and apologize to someone that truly offended you? When you have this other part. I mean, somebody that really did you bad. The Holy Spirit is telling you, yeah, get up. Abraham, get up. Go and apologize to me. Ah. Mr. Afisi, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what get up. The Bible says you have forfeited all righteousness. You go back. Then that night, debugging with his plan. You know, there's a conflict of realms. Two realms are fighting themselves. Woo! He comes with his attack. thinking that you are still in malice. Jesus said it. He said that the wicked one, the prince of this world, he came to me. He came, but he couldn't find anything. What if he had found something? What he could have found, God has told him to drop it. See, not be every death when die be natural. If you think it's everybody that died in accident that died in natural death, you are not telling me the truth. Some of them is unresolved issue. There is a whole vast spiritual realm. See, stop thinking that this life is NEPA lights and the of our road. This life is beyond what hands can touch and eyes can see. There is an evil realm existing just between the earth and the heaven. It's somewhere, it's called the heavenlies. Thoughts are hijacked there. Plans are hijacked there. Intentions are hijacked there. They are spilling agenda every day. If the wrong one falls on you, they will come back and look for what it gave to you. And when they find it, they can make wreckage of your entire life. So God is saying, choose my way. You need to travel by all means, but the spirit is restraining you. You go nowhere. And then you force your way, because the spirit will never force you. And then you have an accident and two of your hands are broken. You are blaming God. God, why did you forsake me? No, every time God wants to help you, he sends his leading to you. Can I say that again? Every time God wants to help you, send his leading to you. So all we say is that we choose. So just bow your heart and say, I choose. I wanna give my best to you. I wanna do what you ask me to.
I wanna go wherever you say. Just say the word and I will obey. I wanna live a life that's real. I wanna serve you, Lord.
Come on, close your eyes if you know that song.
Cause you deserve all these and more. I give
you all.
His intentions
are pure.
To you.
No insincerity.
I wanna do what you want me to.
I wanna go. Hurt me and I will not hold it against you. See, have you lived a life void of bitterness before? You are so light. You are so light. We were born and brought up in malice, bitterness. We grew there. We know what it is. You will just be heavy. You are suspecting everybody around you. You can't be free. But love now came. Love came. Forgiveness came. Peace came, joy came. Now we can rejoice. No wait, there is hardship everywhere. I do tell people, with this hardship, I'm still carrying people in my heart. I will die. But I want to live the life. It's a life that's free. It's free, 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 free. I'm free, I'm free.
I want to go wherever you say.
In his intention.
I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all these and more. I give you more. I give you more. Jesus, we choose your way. Choose your way, yeah.
Please and more, you deserve it, Lord.
You deserve it all.
You deserve all.
You deserve it all more.
You deserve it all more.
You deserve it all more.
You deserve
one more time, come and
sing
that one
on the first verse.
You deserve it all more.
You deserve it all more.
You deserve it all more.
We choose your way.
You deserve it all more.
You deserve it all more.
You deserve it.
Just lift up our hands as we take that song.
I want to do what you want me to.
I want
to
go.
I want to go wherever you say.
Say the word
and I will obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all these and more. I'll give you more. I'll give you more.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.